The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, so much to talk about today.
I know.
So much drama.
Unbelievable.
But I'm going to start with another humiliation for Iran, because its largest naval vessel unexpectedly was set fire to, or had an accident or something happened.
Something.
But the bottom line of the whole story is that this ship actually sank near the port of Jask. It was described as Iran's largest naval vessel, a naval training support vessel. A fire broke out on board. 400 people had to be rescued from the ship. The ship was really considered one of not only the largest vessel in Iran, but one of the larger naval vessels in the region. Could supply a city with electricity. It had generators on board. It was one of these really high technological ships that was part of the Iranian fleet. And you know, obviously, not only is it a humiliation, but the fact is that it goes to this whole tension that's been playing out in naval waters in recent times. Iran's trying to exert control over the Gulf area, over the ships that move to and fro there, around the Red Sea area. And of course, any attacks against Iran in this area are considered to be very much a very attacking kind of action on behalf of whoever it might be. Of course, they're presenting it as having, as being an accident, as some sort of a system problem on board the ship. But
maybe a heater, went awry.
Maybe it could have just been something like that, or a light blew, and it, you know, who knows what could have happened.
It happens, yeah.
But I would still suggest that Iran needs to check their mezuzahs.
They do indeed. Let's hope they are insured. Right, let's talk about the Israeli elections. Yair Lapid finally succeeded in forming a government in the last hour remaining of his mandate. And interesting, Anton says, just realized Israel could be replacing BN with NB.
Okay. That is exactly the way it is. High drama yesterday, whereas I thought it would be relatively simple, and that Yair Lapid would be able to present his government well on time. No, it played out into the last hour when the mandate was about to expire, live out the play out on TV. Finally, Yair Lapid was able to make a call to the president, in which he was able to say the famous words, Allah biyadi larkiv memshala. Israel is an incredibly informal society, and yes, there are some formalities that need to be adhered to, and this is one of them. That is the line that has to be uttered by the person who is forming the government to the president. I was able by my hand to construct a government. Google translation says form a government, but the word is larkiv. And larkiv is a word that's really used more in the construction sense. You have to build it together. It's not just something that
something
forms
that just comes
by
together.
Itself.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was what Yair Lapid was able to say. Not simple. Lots of brinkmanship right down to the last moment. But finally, a government has been formed. We understand that for the first time in Israel's history, a coalition agreement has been signed with an Arab party in the form of Ra'am, Mansour Abbas, the leader of that party. Even though they will not be officially part of the coalition, they will support the government from outside the coalition. And so, was rightly pointed out by Anton, NB, Naftali Bennett, will apparently be Israel's next prime minister to replace BN, Benjamin Netanyahu. The question now is, what do we do from here? The president had to be ushered from his seat at the Bloomfield football stadium, where he was watching the cup final game between Maccabi Tel Aviv and Hapoel Tel Aviv, which, just for the record, was won by Maccabi 2-1 in extra time. The president was ushered from his seat to the dressing room to take the call from Yair Lapid. It was with something like a half an hour yet to go until the mandate expired. Yair Lapid made his announcement. Of course, it was accepted by the president. He's been waiting for a long time to hear those words. And now the question is, Where do we go from here? As I mentioned yesterday, this is a point now that needs to be voted on in the Knesset in a vote of confidence. The Knesset speaker officially has a week, 7 days within which to bring that vote. But because the Knesset is currently not sitting and that the presentation of the coalition cannot be made at least until Monday, there is a question as to whether the Knesset speaker is able to wait a week after it is first presented to the Knesset, in which case it won't be in a week from today, but it'll be in a week from Monday, which gives an extra few days for people to potentially change their minds before they come to the vote of confidence in the new government. And we do know that there are more than one or two people, particularly within Naftali Bennett's Yamina party, who are not totally on board and who could potentially still vote against the formation of the new government. Specifically, the Chavar Knesset Orbach is one of those who last night was voicing his disapproval, and he left things in the air a little bit by saying he's not sure whether he wishes to support this government or not, even though his party is part of obviously the ruling coalition. But it seems as if there are some people within the parties, within those 62 seats that have been stitched together, that have been constructed together, and there are some people who may well still not support the new government. So we're all going to be holding our breath, waiting for the vote in the Knesset for the formation of the government. There seems to be this morning a new initiative to actually replace the Knesset speaker, because Yariv Levin, the current Knesset speaker, said he's going to bring the vote on only on the last possible day allowed by the law. So there is now a move, a letter has already been sent, I understand, to the secretary of the Knesset to ask for Yariv Levin to be replaced as the Knesset speaker. The 61 required signatures were attached to the letter. So there is a possibility that Yariv Levin could be replaced. If that is the case, then we would expect the vote of confidence to be brought as soon as Monday next week, rather than a week later on the following Monday. So we'll have to just see how things play out today with regard to the replacement of the Knesset speaker, and therefore how long it will take until the vote of confidence is brought. And so by hook or by crook, it seems as if though we finally do have a government, and this time it's not going to involve the Likud, it's not going to involve Prime Minister Netanyahu, and it's not going to involve any of the ultra-Orthodox parties.
Absolutely fascinating. Is there any chance that Netanyahu will concede and eventually say, or is he going to fight until the very last moment?
Well, I think you probably know the answer to that, Howard, knowing the way that Netanyahu tries to operate. Mm. He's obviously not in any mood to concede at all. He will wait until that vote is taken before finally being forced to accept that the game is over. There is a lot of speculation as to what he might do next. Is he likely to lead the Likud in opposition? Is he likely to let the seat go? My bet is that he would not be happy to sit as the leader of the opposition, and that he would prefer to let the seat go and move on to other things, whatever else he needs to do. But all of that, I guess, will play itself out in the fullness of time.
It's all very well to have to form a government, oust Netanyahu, replace it, but it's a very diverse and disparate grouping. Do you think that they're going to be able to function as a government?
Well, I hope so. I hope that we'll at least have some, period of time where this government will function. There is a lot of backlog that the government needs to catch up with, given the fact that we haven't had a functioning government for so long. And I'm hoping that at least those important things will finally be taken care of. Budgets will be passed. Judges will be appointed. Ambassadors will be appointed. All of these things have really been on hold while there has been no government and there's been no functioning bodies that are authorized to make those decisions. So I'm hoping that at least the backlog will be cleared out, that we'll get some sort of a functioning government. I'm not kidding myself to think that this government is going to be all smooth sailing. There does seem to be more of a willingness amongst the constituent parts to cooperate and to somehow make a success of things. But I have absolutely no doubt that that particular issue that's going to blow things up is not far away. There is a question as to whether Yair Lapid might even get to take over the prime ministerial seat in 2 years' time, as the current rotation agreement calls for. There is some doubt as to whether this government will even last that long. But I think the point is that it at least clears out what has been really a non-functioning entity up until now. It's really been led by the prime minister himself, with very, very little around him. And so all of that is now being cleared out, or hopefully will be cleared out when the Knesset takes the vote of confidence, and that we will replace it with an entity that does function, or at least will function, at least in the early days, and get all the backlog cleared out. And with people who do really want to see the best for Israel, we hope that their intentions will be in the right place. So I don't know that the government will see out its entire four-year period. Probably not. It seems as if though there are too many differences of approach and of policy within all of the various groups that make up the government to really allow the government to last any period of time. But who knows, we may still be surprised.
Right. Let's talk about another big event, which of course is that Isaac Herzog will be Israel's 11th president. I've never been a big fan of Isaac Herzog. Maybe just his voice irritates me, but that's probably not reason enough for him not to be president. He probably is a very good choice, isn't he?
I think he is a good choice. I think that when he was leader of the Labour Party, there were people who felt that he wasn't a strong leader, that he left a lot to be desired in that particular role. And certainly he has had roles in the past which could potentially have been filled by, I think, better equipped people than he. Having said that, he obviously has a lot of skill. He speaks extremely well. He's been a very, very high-level lawyer at a big Tel Aviv law office, and with a lot of experience and a lot of contacts from the work that he did in that law office. He came from a family of politicians. His father was, the ambassador to the United Nations. His father was also the president for the first time in Israel's history. We have now the son of a father who was the president, also becoming the president, similar to the kind of George Bush situation in the United States. We've never had this before in Israel, so that's a first. I think he is a person who really has Israel's interests at heart. And I think that is a big qualifying factor. I think he's done a great job as chairman of the Jewish Agency. Certainly he's had a lot of support from the board of the Jewish Agency, who were the first to run out and congratulate him. I think that he was a good, good choice in that particular role. And I think that this one, as the president of Israel, is potentially just an extension of what he's been doing at the Jewish Agency. He obviously has political experience. I think that that also counts for something. So I'm feeling quite confident about Buzi Herzog as our president. I think that he has everything that he needs to do a good job, and I certainly wish him well, and we all hope that he will be very successful when he takes over in approximately a month from now.
Incredible. Really, really, just the amount of change happening in Israel is really almost breathtaking.
One of the things that they say is the only constant in Israel is how much change is going on, and I think that this is just a sign of the extent to which things are just constantly on the move. Just a few words for Miriam Peretz, who is the loser in that presidential election. She was very, very gracious conceding defeat. She acknowledged that she came from Morocco and that she feels very, very fortunate to have managed to come from that sort of background through a transit camp, having lost sons in Israel's wars to stand as a potential presidential candidate. She wished Buzi Herzog well. I think she was very, very gracious in the way that she accepted all of it. And for the very first time, Israel had a real commoner, if you want to call it that, a person off the street who has no political background whatsoever, has no official credentials, standing as president. I think that that statement in itself is a very big statement. We're yet to still have our first female president, but that won't be far away.
I'm sure not, and I hope not. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you on Monday morning. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.